Good morning and welcome to the Sports Polygamy Podcast. It's Thursday, the 10th of January, 2013, and I'm Eric George. For the first time in a long time, I'm very pleased to welcome back my estranged lover, Kirk Dalziel. How are you, Kirk?
Well, I feel like a virgin again, Eric. It's been a long time, so please be gentle.
I think we're going to have to start doubling up on the Kama Sutra today. We've got a lot to get through, and it has been quite a while.
It has been. Well, I took an extended break, and then you decided to go to Canada.
Yes, I did. I actually got deported from Canada as well, but that's a story for another day. We can start off today's podcast, I figured, with catching up on the NFL, because we obviously are big NFL fans, and it is the pointy end of the season. So we'll get to our 2013 preview a little bit later on, but NFL, let's start there. And at the start of the season, Kirk, you and I made some ill-informed bets, and I figured it would only be fair if we checked in and see how we did. Do you feel a little bit less smart now than you did at the start of the season?
Well, no, I went 5 wins, 5 losses, so 50% is a pass, baby. I feel good.
Yeah,
I got through university this way, so I'm perfectly happy.
Well, yeah, okay. If setting the bar high, I got 4 out of 10, but obviously these weren't all made at the same dollar value. Before we get into who actually made more money, which is the bet that you regret the most looking at this list?
Oh, Jay Cutler for MVP by a long way.
You didn't actually think that was going to happen.
Well, you know, I like Jay a lot. And he was paying a lot. Who knows if their offensive line had suddenly decided to block at some point. It may have happened, but boy, they were terrible. And then he got hurt again. So that was one of my big ones, closely followed by LeSean McCoy. That didn't even get close either.
Yeah, that was same for me as Ray Rice, who they just decided wasn't on the team anymore halfway through the season.
Well, who would if somebody picked Adrian Peterson, give me a call because you're a genius. You can pick my next season once for me because he would have been paying. I don't even know if he was on the betting list, but he would have been paying huge if he was
on there, but he was paying heavy because no one saw that coming.
No, that was incredible. That was one of the greatest human feats of recovery I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, I had my share of missteps as well. Obviously, I thought the Chiefs were going to win the AFC West. Then they went on to have the worst record in the league. Not good. I thought the Broncos were going to. I thought the Broncos and the Colts were both going to stink, and they both made the playoffs. And Dallas screwed me. I said they were going to get 9 wins and over 9 wins, and they got 9. So that was a bit of a disappointment. But why don't you tell me, Kirk, the value of each of the bets that you hit?
That I got. Okay, well, we'll go from. Where do you want to go? Highest to lowest, or lowest to highest?
Whatever. Surprise me.
I'll go from the lowest. All right. So my lowest win was a push, actually. I went the New York Giants under 9 wins, and they got exactly 9, so they gave me my money back, which was nice. So I'll call that a win. I then had the Texans to win the AFC South, and I got $2.40 for that. Then we move up to Green Bay to win the NFC North for $2.72. And then in come my big guns, the Redskins over 6 wins at $3.74.
Ooh.
And then Cam Newton to go under 3,750 yards at $3.74 as well.
Right.
So those two got me across the line there to get me up. I still lost a bit. Do you want to know by how much?
So how much? You bet $20, and how much did you end up with?
I got $14.20, so a loss of $5.80.
Okay. I didn't realize that we got a push. Maybe I got a push on my Dallas bet. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, if it's numbers, because I couldn't figure out why I didn't get anything back. But yeah, the 9 wins to push.
That's not bad. All right, give me one second. I didn't get my $2 back. I got gypped.
Oh, you got gypped?
Okay, but even without that, let's go through what I got. So I got 4 bets. 49ers over 10 wins. I got $3.74 for that. I got the Phillip Rivers under 4,700 yards, $3.74 for that.
It was terrible.
Yeah, not good. My pride and joy, the one prediction I made at the start of the season that I'm very proud of was the Browns over 4.5 wins, $3.18. They weren't too bad this year. I thought they were actually pretty good. And the coach was unlucky to get fired. I feel bad for Pat Shermer. And most importantly, Calvin Johnson, receiving yards, smashing Jerry Rice's record, got me $4.
Oh, wow. So you've had some big ones come home there.
Oh, no, sorry. He got me $8.
Ah, and I thought I'd done really well.
Yeah, so I ended up getting 1866 all up at a loss of $1.34.
Damn you, Jay Cutler.
Yeah. Yeah, not the strongest betting output for us. It wasn't an easy season. I think your low light was the $10,000 you put on Green Bay to beat, who was it? Indianapolis?
Yeah, to beat Indianapolis.
Yeah, you don't bet against Chuck Strong, Kirk.
Yeah, no, I know, I shouldn't have. But I didn't end up too bad. I lost, $14 over the whole season, so I plan on making that up in the playoffs.
You've lost money in dumber ways, so...
Yeah, well, like a good gambling addict, I don't know when to quit, so let's pour it all into this weekend.
Okay, before we move on to the playoffs, though, let's just finish wrapping up the season as it was. Do a quick wrap of the awards as we saw them for the season. Let's save MVP for last, even though it's probably kind of obvious. Start in reverse order, say. So, Coach of the Year, I think, as everyone thinks, it has to go to a split between Bruce Arians and Chuck Pagano for the work they did at Indianapolis, despite the whole cancer issue, the fact that they didn't have anybody on their team, the motivation they got from their rookies, the way they got that young team to play was amazing. They did get lucky. They got very lucky, but they played freaking well for a team that was just a travesty last year.
Yeah, exactly. And they had a slightly easier schedule, I think. But look, this was a hell of a story. It's a pretty huge distraction when your coach goes down. All you have to do is look at New Orleans, what happens when you bring in an interim coach and even an interim coach. So for the two of them to hold that together and still be productive was a hell of an achievement, and nobody expected them to make the playoffs. So good on them. And it was great the other day watching them at Baltimore, and all, because he was obviously the old defensive coordinator there, went up and gave him a hug, and the Baltimore fans were very receptive of him and very happy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not normally a huge fan or one to get caught up in that kind of story, you know, the inspirational narrative, but it was impossible not to in this case. I mean, that speech he gave earlier in the season about how he was going to dance with his daughters at their wedding and how he was going to beat cancer was seriously emotional stuff.
Oh, I'd go out and smack somebody upside the mouth after that. I mean, that was some blood-curdling stuff. That was great.
So you agree?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Okay, Rookie of the Year, Kirk.
So this is a little bit more complex, especially now that the playoffs have occurred.
Yes, because essentially there's three candidates for Offensive Rookie of the Year. It's Luck, it's RG3, and it's Russell Wilson, and only one of them won a playoff game.
Exactly. So I'm going to go with the hustle and bustle man, muscle Russell Wilson.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I guess he got helped out with a bit of a running game as well, but he seemed to develop the most, and unlike Griffin, he didn't get injured. He knew how to take a dive and get the hell out of the way. So because of that, I put it down to him and Andrew Luck. It's so close between him and Andrew Luck, but I just love Russell Wilson so much.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think he's been that impressive, personally. I think there have been much better candidates here. I think, as you mentioned, the running game that he's had at Seattle has been insane. Like, Marshawn Lynch has not gotten enough credit at all.
Well, mind you, RG3 had a pretty good hand there with the running as well. I mean, that was a pretty well set up run game.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But it wasn't even close to the yardage and the yards per carry that Lynch put up. Lynch was a top three running back this year. Wilson, by comparison, had 3,000 yards passing this year, 26 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. It's a decent season, but I don't think it's nearly as good as what either Griffin or Luck put up personally. I think it has to be Luck. I think it's just what he did. And as we mentioned with the coach, what he overcome in the situation he was playing in and the players he had to go with. I mean, he had Wayne to throw to, and that was it.
And there was a lot of fourth quarter stuff coming from him as well.
Yeah, yeah. There were more moments, I thought, from him where he put that team on his shoulders and carried them than anybody else. So for me, it's Luck.
Yeah, I'm happy if Luck gets it.
Defensive player of the year?
It's JJ Watt. That's not even a question. I've never seen somebody swat balls like this before. It's like listening to you playing the back lines in AFL, just screaming and yelling, swatting balls everywhere. And then the sack ratio, obviously. But then teams have to double team him, and if they don't, he just blows it all up. So JJ Watt's just been dominant.
Yeah, I think he was top 30 or something in the year for passes deflected. And he was the only player who's not a cornerback to be in the top 100. There weren't even any linebackers or anything in that mix. It was him and then a bunch of tiny guys. So he's an absolute freak. And I mean, what he even did this week in the playoffs against Cincinnati was scary. When he can shrug off two or three linemen and get through to the quarterback, I personally think he's clearly on the juice, but he's impressive nonetheless.
They all are, but Andy Dalton will be having nightmares for the whole offseason about J.J. Watt just tearing through that offensive line.
Absolutely, and it'll be interesting to see how he hangs on. Obviously, there's this crazy kind of sophomore class of pass rushers with him, with Alden Smith in San Francisco, and Von Miller in Denver. If those guys can keep going along, it's gonna be interesting to see who can hang in there. I think a more interesting category is the offensive player of the year. Who do you like here?
Boy, I'm gonna say Rodgers or Brady. And Rodgers especially, because he's got similar figures to what he had last year when he got the MVP. And then nobody seems to be talking about him this year, obviously, because of the Adrian Peterson and Peyton Manning scenario. So it's one of those two. I'm just going to say Rodgers simply because he has no offensive line, it seems, there, or run game whatsoever. I mean, they're abysmal when it comes to running. He's been sacked a billion times. So what he's been able to do with that team... pretty much just pick it up on its shoulders and go with it. I'm going to say Rodgers.
Yeah, I think that's a good case. I mean, the problem with Rodgers' candidacy here is just the fact that he's had some bad games. There's been games where he's just got no help from his team and he's gotten the crap beaten out of him and hasn't been able to score a touchdown. As somebody who had Rodgers as his fantasy quarterback this year, he's had great weeks and he's had weeks where he's let me down. So I can't see him picking up any silverware this year. And for me, I went a little bit left of center here. I went Calvin Johnson because I think...
Well, he's the only target on that team, really.
He broke Jerry Rice's receiving record. No one's talking about this. He did it with a week to spare. Like, he was amazing. That record was one that people thought would never get broken, and he did it with ease on a team, you know, with a decent quarterback and no real running game, but... compared to, I think, some of the other players who've had mixed games, the fact that he did that, I mean, I would have said Peterson if Peterson broke the rushing record. But, yeah, what Calvin Johnson did was a season for the ages.
It was, but, you know, maybe he should have blown his knee up last year and then everyone would be talking about it for sure. I just think there's been too many other storylines of injuries and Cinderella stories almost that have really blocked us out. But you make a good point.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I'm sticking him in offensive player rather than MVP or something like that. The other thing we aren't also talking about here is the fact that he's the first person in a while to beat the Madden curse.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
That is a serious hurdle to overcome. Anyway, MVP
he'll probably get a DUI or something in the offseason, so don't worry. It's not the end of the year yet.
Get done on child porn charges.
look, MVP is going to be my obvious. I've said it all year as Adrian Peterson. He carried that whole team. That team stinks. If he's not there, they probably win four games at the most, because Christian Ponder doesn't know how to throw the ball. And whoever that bloke was, Webb, that they put in last week, I don't think he's actually played an NFL game in his life. So Adrian Peterson's the only reason that team got into the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if Brady has one or two better games, then he's in the mix. If similar for Peyton, but it has to be Peterson. Just in terms of consistency, in terms of what he brings to the team, and in terms of the help that he had. I mean, the only other thing that I have on that team that's halfway decent is their kicker, who was amazing despite being very, very fresh. He was nuts. And that final push he had towards the record in Green Bay, he was unstoppable. It was like Marshawn Lynch's beast run was drawn up every play. No one could tackle him. It was,
well, I watched the first time they played. Was it in December?
Mm-hmm.
That was incredible, and he broke off 240, I think. And that was just nuts. There were 80-yard runs where he went through three different people, and they just took off. He was just belting them.
Mm-hmm.
And even in the playoff game, people said, oh, he didn't perform to his potential. He's still got 100 yards. And the only other team to do that were, I think, the Niners at the start of the year. So of the four times that 100 yards has been broken, three of them were Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, he...
Against Green Bay. I mean, that's just nuts.
He is a freak, undoubtedly. I think there is a very good chance that he won't get this, that they'll give it to a quarterback, because that's just what MVP voters do, because they see a quarterback as more valuable, but...
And I think that's sad, because people see it as the most valuable player in the whole league, but really it's more who is the most valuable player to... a team, if you wanted somebody in it, and Adrian Peterson would be my first pick this year. if I was gonna do a fantasy draft.
I think the other problem here is it's the whole you play to win the game aspect, and the Vikings didn't win that many games this year. So often the factor of giving it to a player who carried their team to more wins tends to woo the voters.
Yeah, well, that's always the way. It's like the AFL with the Brownlow. You can't get three votes if you lose.
True. So let's move on to this week, Kirk. We've already had what I thought was a bit of a disappointing wild card weekend. It's normally my favourite weekend of the playoffs because something crazy normally happens, but outside of Russell Wilson's knee disintegrating, nothing of any real note happened. So that leaves us with four pretty awesome games this week. So in no particular order, let's start with the Patriots.
That was a shock. Yeah. Let's slurp on them first.
Yeah. Well, I'm not slurping, Kirk. I'm nervous. They're hosting the Texans. And the reason I'm nervous is because I still have very sad and raw memories of 2010, which contained my favorite game and my least favorite game as a Patriots fan. My favorite was when we annihilated the Jets on Monday Night Football with the most perfect game I've ever seen Tom Brady play. And then a couple of weeks later, had the greatest upset loss the Patriots or any team have ever suffered in the playoffs to the same Jets at home after a week off. So there is the chance for an upset here. And the Texans are built well to beat the Patriots. They rush the passer effectively. They don't need to commit a lot of men to the blitz, which is important against Tom Brady. And they run the ball well and can keep Brady off the field. So if they can do both of those things well, I actually think they can give the Pats a bit of a problem.
Well, the big problem here is that the Texans' offense is fifth in yards and ninth in passing yards. Patriots' defense is 24th overall in yards given and 29th in the pass. So they just... they can't stop the pass. So if Schaub gets hot, it could be all sorts of trouble. The spread's 9.5, though. But after their belting that they gave them last time, I don't know if the Texans can get up. I mean, they got absolutely destroyed by the Patriots.
They did, and they did. And I don't see that happening again because that was – although Watt had a strong game, I mean, he's obviously the most important player on their defense. I don't see them holding him that quiet again. And Brady is, you know, has shown that if he gets roughed up a little bit, if he gets hit, his accuracy starts to waver. But I really do think the majority of this game boils down to the Texans' ability to run the ball. I don't think Matt Schaub will win this game. I mean, if you can't beat the Cincinnati Bengals with a passing game, which he couldn't, I don't think he's going to be able to beat a Patriots defense, which has improved during the year. I think, especially if Ninkovich is healthy, which I think he will be, they should be able to get some pressure on him. So everything for me starts with the run game. If they run the game well, if they run the ball well, they get their play action game going, they get the ball to their tight ends moving down the field, then the Patriots are in trouble. If Will Fork can step up with Love and stop that interior running game, I don't see how the Texans win.
No, I agree. The big thing with J.J. Watt, the Patriots play that dink and dive passing game. They don't really bomb it out as much anymore. So there's a lot of 3 to sort of 7 yard passes going in. So I don't even know if he's going to have enough time to get to Brady because the 3-step drops, it's out of his hand nice and quick. Also, something that should be noticed is that the Patriots offense is red hot. I mean, they're number one in the nation, but they're fourth in the pass, and the Texans defense doesn't have a great pass defense. So it couldn't work any better for Brady in that sense. He could really light them up again.
I hope so. I mean, people have, you know, been perpetuating this myth for a while that Brady can't play in playoff games anymore. So it'd be nice to see him step up. Either way, I think it's going to be a good game. I'm looking forward to it.
How many rings does he have?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, yeah, we could stop that one pretty quickly. but the way I'm looking at it, it's 73% chance the Patriots win this game.
What?
Yep, 73% chance.
Where did you get that number?
Hey, don't be asking questions about my methodology, all right? It's just
73% chance. Okay, well,
73% chance.
I think that's a fair number. I think the Patriots deserve, you know, lukewarm favoritism in this match. Next game, we'll stick in the AFC, is Broncos hosting the Ravens, who...
Bloodbath. This will be genocide.
I think so. I kind of agree with you here. The Ravens, you know, they had trouble dispatching of the Colts for the majority of that match last week, and the Broncos are a step up in every department from Indianapolis. Everything that the Colts do, the Broncos do better, and the things the Colts can't do, the Broncos are very good at. So I just don't see how the Ravens can hang with hang with the Broncos here.
There's only one ranking here that, and as you've probably noticed, I'm big on the rankings at the moment. Broncos offense, 4th. Ravens defense, 26th. And also what should be noticed is that while Ray Lewis is back, Andrew Luck was having some pretty good success throwing across the middle in Ray Lewis's direction. So I imagine Peyton Manning would have been looking at that. He's pretty slow around the field at the moment these days. He can still get up on the run and stuff the run a bit, but the passing game is going to be his big weakness. So expect a lot of passes across the middle going in his direction.
Yeah, I think the one thing that Lewis brings to the table, which will be very important against the Broncos, is just the fact that he's an on-field coach, his ability to dissect Manning's play and understand what he's doing and to kind of marshal the troops, I think will be very useful. But I agree. I was surprised they didn't target Ray Moore in that game. I'm shocked at you here, Kirk. I feel like you've had an affair with a statistician over New Year's and you've come back a changed man.
Yeah, well, I'm giving the Broncos a 92% chance. 90% chance.
Oh my gosh! I think the only real chance for the Ravens here is that the Broncos come out flat after a week off, which has been known to happen with Peyton Manning, with teams that get the week off. It can happen, but that's...
or they kill Peyton Manning, hurt his neck again.
If he's carried off the field in two different pieces, then there's a chance.
They're in trouble.
92%. I can't really deviate far from your numbers here. You seem to be quite accurate. I might go slightly less just because of the fact that Manning does have a track record for flopping in the playoffs. I'll place it in the 80 to 85th% kind of.
Eric, this is your taxpayers' dollars hard at work, right?
Oh, my God.
What else do you think I do at work all day?
So you're saying if we hack into the Western Australian rural property valuation system, that there'll be some property called P. Manning and T. Brady with crazy algorithms next to them?
There may be.
Okay, so we both like the Broncos pretty strongly in that game. How about the 49ers hosting the Packers, who embarrassed the Vikings last week? Obviously, everyone's getting back on the Aaron Rodgers bandwagon now. Do you think the Packers have got a chance?
I think they do. This is easily the most even game out of all of them, I think. Both of these teams really match up well on offense and defense. It's just it's crazy good. This will be a really exciting, tough game as well, really hard. San Francisco will be slamming it up the guts with Gore, obviously, and Aaron Rodgers will be trying to air it out big time.
Yep, true. I think the big thing for the 49ers here is that I've always seen this iteration of the team as one that really relies on physical dominance rather than tactical dominance to win a game. So for them to get the week off, to come out strong and fresh, will be very important, because if they get pressure on Rodgers, we've seen this year that the Packers then are done. Like if Aaron Rodgers can't carry this team, then no one else will. So I think it's really down to the 49ers defense to kind of control him. And then we just got to wait and see what Kaepernick does. I mean, who knows? He is a complete enigma. We've never seen him play in the playoffs before.
But they also have a really good quarterback standing on the sidelines. The big thing to note here as well is that, A, the Packers can't run the ball.
True.
And, B, the Packers can't defend the run.
True. It's almost like you read someone's article that he put on The Raw last week, Kirk. All these points were made in detailed form.
Oh, no, I haven't read that article. What the hell are you talking about? I don't look at The Raw anymore. Well, the 23rd, the Packers' defense against the run, and the 20th on offense in the run. So they stink on both ends. Just keep giving it to Kuhn on 3rd and 1. They'll do it every time.
Packers' defense is a lot better against the pass, though, which kind of, you know, emphasizes the importance of Rodgers. Because if he can put points up and, you know, shift the balance of the 49ers' offense away from the run, then it takes a bit of pressure off his defense.
Yeah, they've got a good pass defense as well, the Niners. Look, I fiddled around with the numbers. Didn't like what came out, so I changed a few things. I'm going to say that the Niners have a 65% chance of winning this game.
Right. I actually think the Packers have got the best chance of any away team in this round of winning. I know a lot of people like Seattle, but I don't know. I just think that the 49ers have been good, but there's too many disruptions to that team relying on a rookie quarterback. Obviously, they do have Smith, but who knows what's going to happen there. Relying on such an inexperienced quarterback to win you a playoff game against an experienced team And having Woodson back does change the dynamic of that Packers defense a little bit. So I'd put this at less than 50% chance for the 49ers. I'd say the Packers by 55%.
Ooh, and I give it a 90% chance that a Packers fan gets stabbed in the car park.
Yeah, your experiences at Candlestick weren't positive?
Oh, no, that place is a ghetto. It was terribly exciting.
Well, you're lucky you didn't go and see an Oakland game. That's the one where people get shot.
Yeah. Well, I'd rather take a knife to the chest than a bullet.
Okay. Next quote of the day. So the final match of the round is Atlanta hosting Seattle, who obviously snuck by Washington on the back of a hobbled Robert Griffin. I think Atlanta are the dark horse of these playoffs, to be honest, Kirk. I think that obviously there's this whole rep that Atlanta can't win playoff games, that Matt Ryan's never won a playoff game. But when they have looked their best this season, Atlanta have had a freaking amazing passing attack. When he can involve both Jones and White, I can't see who can stop it. In a dome, if they can play the game at the pace they want to, I actually think, despite the matchup issues that this presents, I think Atlanta can win this.
I'm going completely the opposite way. I'm all over Seattle right now. The big thing is the rush game for the Seahawks. The beast has gone into full beast mode, and they're ranked second in the country in terms of rushing, and the Falcons cannot defend the rush.
Nope.
They're 29th, so... They're 19th. They're going to get lit up. They also can't run the ball at all. They're 29th in offense and running. I can't see them winning it, Eric. They're going to get run into the ground. Marshawn Lynch is going to kill everybody. I just can't. And it's not going to be down to Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan's not going to be the reason they lose this game. It'll be because the Seahawks just run over the top of the defense.
Yeah, but I mean, in that last playoff game for Seattle, they came out. They looked pretty wobbly. They gave up two quick touchdowns. They couldn't really get anything going on offense until things started to go horribly wrong for Washington. I do think that if Atlanta, I think it's like what I was saying with the Packers. I think it's down to Atlanta to shift the balance in Seattle's offensive game planning. Because I agree, if this gets down to a ground game, then Atlanta are cooked. But if Atlanta can keep the ball in the air, keep the points high, and force Seattle to move the ball quicker and keep it away from Lynch, then they're in with a chance, and then I think they can win it. But if the game slows down, then the Falcons are screwed.
Yeah, I'm going to give Seattle a 67% chance of winning this game.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, I'd say Atlanta deserve to be favorites in this game. 63%.
Ooh, boy, we're really... This has polarized us.
Yes, this has been the wedge between us, Kirk.
When's this being played? Is it being played Sunday night, so Monday morning here?
Oh gosh, now you're asking too many things of me.
I'm gonna be calling you all day from the office. Yeah. Eric.
Yeah, they're playing Sunday afternoon, so that's on. Yeah, like very early at your time, so you should be able to see it.
Outstanding.
See your boy play and lose.
Yeah, I'll be calling you.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
All right, we're going to split this off into a two-parter here, and we'll run the second part tomorrow. That's Friday, in which Kirk and myself are going to run through the year to come and make some predictions as to who's going to win, who's going to lose, and reprise some games that we did enjoy in 2012. So stick around for that, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. See ya.